it's really a reminder. God would often remind his people of his promises, and the people would also remind God of his promises. I'm going to say that again. God often reminds his people of his promises, but the people are also to remind the Lord. Not that the Lord forgot, but the Lord knows that a word that he decrees is binding. His word is forever settled in heaven. What God decrees is, it stands. In the day that you shall eat thereof of that forbidden fruit, you shall surely die. That was a decree. And because man violated that had to happen. However, God had a plan that he would send his Son, amen, in the likeness of sinful flesh, who knew no sin, to become an offering for us. We remind the Lord also of his word and his promises in his word. God wants us, listen, he wants us to remind him of his promises. He wants us, first of all, to know what they are, because you can't stand on the promises unless you know what they are. And when you know the promises and you know we have a faithful God who will back up his word, then we can remind the Lord of what he has said. And it's mostly for our benefit. How many know faith comes by hearing? And sometimes out of our own mouth we can encourage ourselves. That's why often I will speak the word over my life in times when I feel like the oppressor's trying to get in, or I'm feeling discouraged, or whatever's going on. I'll speak the word over my life, and I'll encourage myself in the Lord. And the Lord, the Holy Spirit, always moves with the word. You can't separate the Holy Spirit from the word. Amen? And so it's very important that we understand the promises, and that God is faithful to his promises. Exodus 19, 1 through 6. In the third month after the children of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on the same day they came to the wilderness of Sinai. By the way, they spent 11 years at this place, for they had departed from Rephidim and had come to the wilderness of Sinai and camped in the wilderness. So Israel camped there before the mountain. And Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, "Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and tell the children of Israel." Now look at verse 3. Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain. Now it is true that the Lord calls, but the Bible says, "Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you." How many know that we also need to take some initiative here? Sometimes people come with a passive mentality. And they even come to a meeting such as this with passivity and just expect that everything's just going to drop on them. Well, sometimes God will drop something on you. He'll stir you up in a good way, though, because he loves you. He will drop. Sometimes he'll just do things for you. You didn't ask for it. You didn't expect it. God just does good things because he loves us. But we cannot be passive about our relationship with the Lord. How many marriages are going to thrive when both are passive? Or when only one is passionate about the other, and the other one's just passive? It's not a good relationship, would you agree? We serve a passionate God. He's very passionate for you. And we should be passionate for him. So draw near. Take the initiative. I don't always feel that spiritual, do you? Yeah. I found out that good feelings will follow my pursuit of God, though. It's only a matter of time, because when you encounter him, there's going to be good feelings. And God made us that way. He made us emotional beings. It's okay. And so we draw near to God. We take the initiative that I'm going to go and I'm going to seek him. I'm going to go, not with an attitude of what can I get out of this thing. Because when you really love somebody, regardless of whether you're going to get anything back, you're going to love on them. Your kids, half the time, they don't give anything back to you, but sometimes they do. And when they do, boy, you sure appreciate it. But you love your children and you give good gifts to your children because you just love them. And you do hope that they would appreciate, of course, what you gave them. It's like the spoiled kid that receives the toy and he goes out and he just plays the toy. He didn't even say thank you. Oh, thanks. Yeah, right. Okay. Takes the toy out and he doesn't appreciate it because everything was handed to him. And then what does he end up doing? He ends up destroying. We had a neighbor who gave their kids everything. It was just piled up with toys. And they're kind of like the little boy in the toy story, you know. Sid, was it? Sid Vicious? What was his name? Sid something? Who, he destroyed all his toys. Poked their eyes out, you know, set them on fire. But we'd take those toys and he would just mess with them. He would destroy them. Because he didn't appreciate anything. Because everything was just kind of handed to him. And he had an unthankful attitude, an ungrateful attitude about the benevolence of his parents and what they were doing for him. In hopes that maybe our child will look beyond what we've been giving him. Maybe he'll look beyond the gift and see the heart of love that we have for him. And respond to our love. In a relationship. Some people try to buy their kids, you know. Yeah? I'll just pacify them by giving them everything they want. And what happens is it ends up backfiring. Usually they don't appreciate it. They expect it. But we give good gifts to our kids because we love them and we're not necessarily expecting anything back, but it sure is nice when they love us back. They say, thank you, Mom. Thank you, Dad. That was wonderful. I appreciate that. Thank you. And the excitement that we see on Christmas morning, you know, when our kids are just tearing everything apart. You know, my brother and I weren't like our sister who would just, you know, used to drive me nuts. Well, I don't know if Bonnie would do that, but him and I would just go at it. We would tear that stuff open, and we're at the gift, you know. But God loves us so much, and He does so much for us all the time. And you know what? We need to pay attention. We need to remember the goodness of the Lord. We need to remember what He has done for us. We need to remember the cross. We need to remember, that's why we have communion. We're remembering what Jesus has done for us in our redemption. How He gave His life for us. No one took His life from Him. He laid it down of Himself because He loved us that much. He bled and died. He became my sacrifice, your sacrifice. That's how much our Father loves us. And He wants us to remember His goodness. And so He reminds Israel here as they had been delivered from Pharaoh under his oppression and brought them out into the wilderness 3 months. And then He said in verse 4, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians. Remember, He's saying, I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. What did He do? He drew them. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people. For all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. Who does that remind you of today? God, in His mercy, amen, gave His Son to die for us, to deliver us from Satan's bondage, amen, to deliver us out of darkness, to bring us into His light. And He says, I bore you on eagle's wings. In other words, eagles fly in places that man cannot. God takes you to places that you can't go any other way except with Him. I bore you on eagle's wings. We rise with Him, amen? We soar with Him above that place where the enemy operates. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Isaiah 40. They shall mount up on wings as eagles. We can soar in heavenly places, heavenly realms in God. He's giving us access to the throne of His grace as sons and daughters to come and to receive grace and mercy to help us, because He wants to walk through this world with us. Amen? He doesn't want us to be alone. We were not designed to be independent of God. Mankind was created for Him and for His pleasure. And it delights the Father when we delight in Him. It delights the Father when we remember His goodness and we give thanks to Him and we give praise to Him. And so the Lord is saying, remember what I did for you. How I had so miraculously delivered you out of that bondage and brought the 10 plagues upon the Egyptians and brought you out by the blood of the Lamb, just like you and I today have been delivered by the blood of Jesus Christ. So that we can now soar on wings with eagle as eagles with Christ. We can walk in higher places, a higher realm. Amen? And don't have to waddle around in the barnyard with this worldly system. We can rise with Jesus and we can be delivered. And the reason we can be completely and totally set free from every bondage, from every shackle of sin and shame and guilt, is because Christ has defeated the enemy of our soul. You see how I defeated the Egyptians. You see what I did to them. How I drowned them in the sea. I cut them off as they were in hot pursuit of you. Remember what I did for you. The enemy has been defeated. I declare to you today, the enemy has been defeated. The only weapon that the enemy has is lies and deceit. If he can get us to believe that which is not true, as though it were, then he can control what happens in your life. He's a usurper. He takes away, he attempts to take away your authority by getting you to listen to him in his lies. So we need to remember what Christ has said. I have overcome the world. In the world, you'll have tribulation because we live in a sin-sick world and things happen. Bad things happen to good people even. But he says, but be of good cheer. Rejoice because I've overcome the world and I have come to dwell within your heart and you have the overcomer in you. And greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And the enemy knows that. He knows he's been defeated. So he attempts to use lies and deception on you and I to get us to believe that which is not true. It's a matter of belief, isn't it? It really is. It's what you believe. Now, some people believe what they want to believe. They choose to believe what they want to believe. And so some people, because it may feel good at the moment, they think, I'll just choose to believe the lie. How many know Eve believed the lie? And so did Adam. Because it seemed to feel good, it looked good. Probably tasted good too. But the result was death. So, what we need to understand is that Christ is the victor here. And we are His people. And the enemy cannot punk you out. Because greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. Now, if you don't have the Spirit of Christ in you, then you need to get saved. But when the Spirit of Christ comes to live within you, you become a new creation. You become a child of the Most High God. And God is very zealous for His kids, very jealous over you too. He wants to take care of you. He wants to make sure you're well taken care of. So we need to believe what God said and nothing else. Believe what he said. Jesus said, "These words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life-giving. Receive the word of the Lord that you might live. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." It's the word of God that is the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Jesus says, John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but by me." Oh, you've seen what I did to the Egyptians, how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. It was his intention and fellowship with you and I to walk with God. And then he makes the condition here, "If you will obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." That is talking about today, you and I, the church. How many know that God is a promise keeper? How many know that mankind is not? How many times have you made agreements with God? You struck a deal with God. Yeah. We, with all good intention, make all kinds of deals with God. "If you do this for me, I'll do that for you." Jesus said, "Swear not." Amen? It's better not to say you're going to do something than say you're going to do it and not do it. The problem, folks, is that every one of us have broken covenant. Every one of us have broken His law. All of us have broken our word at times. Maybe we meant it in all good faith when we said that to God. "God, I'll do this, I'll do that. If you just get me out of it," God gets you out of it, and then you forget all about it. In fact, there's some people that the only time they come to God is when they need somebody just to get them out of a situation. And as soon as God gets them out of the situation, where are they? When the 10 lepers were healed, there was only one that came back to give glory to God. We need to be reminded about what God has done for us so that we can have a heart of gratitude and thanksgiving, because thanksgiving is the password into His presence. Thanksgiving and praise. Praise brings the glory of God, and in His presence there is fullness of joy. God wants you to walk in joy. But you have to first understand the truth that Jesus Christ has overcome the world. We have to understand the truth that at the cross, Jesus defeated the enemy of our soul. And when He spread His arms and He said, "It is finished," that it is finished. The work of redemption has been done. And for a believer in Jesus Christ who has the Spirit of Christ living in them, the only weapon the enemy has, once again, is deception, is lies, to get you to believe that which is not true and to accept it. He tells you that you're this when you're not. He tells you you're a loser. He tells you that you're foul. He tells you that God doesn't love you. He lies to you. And if you believe that lie, then you'll start bowing down to a different voice. And as soon as we start entertaining that kind of voice, He starts to move in even deeper into your life. And He starts to rob and to kill and to destroy. Are you with me today? Yes. How many know what I'm talking about? Anybody been beside myself been prey to that before? Yes. So we need to be wise to His tactics. And the only way we're going to know what the standard is, you know, you've heard it said, you don't study, you know, counterfeit bills to find out what the real bill is. Amen? You study the real bill. You study the Rembrandt, right? So that when a fake Rembrandt comes along, they say, "No, that's not right, because I know what a real one looks like." So we know what the real thing is because God has revealed Himself through His Word and by His Spirit. Now, we're going somewhere with this. I want you to hear this. The power of sin has been broken in the believer's life. I'm telling you, the power of sin has been broken in your life if you're a believer. It's now a matter of who you listen to. Am I right? It's not a matter of the devil made me do it. It's a matter of who you listen to now. Who are you going to obey? Those who live according to the Spirit will have life and peace. Those who sow to the flesh or the sinful nature will receive death. Who are you going to listen to? Are you going to believe the truth or the lie? You shall know the truth, and the truth shall free you from the lie. The enemy will not be able to throw anything on you because you know what God said about the matter. That's not what God said. Devil, get out. But so often, we put up with so much. We feel sometimes that we have to just put up with this, these plaguing, tormenting thoughts. You know what, folks? I've discovered that I can deliver myself in the name of Jesus. Don't get me wrong there. What I mean by that is there are times when the oppressor comes, you know, and he's always coming against us, all of us. But we take authority in Jesus' name. But let me just say something. Before you're going to have authority over the enemy, you better make sure that you've submitted yourself to God. Because there are people who try to take him on, and yet they're living in willful sin. They are not submitting themselves to God, and they get beat up even worse. Do you want the devil out of your life? Just simply every day yield yourself to God. Say, God, whatever you want, that's what I want. Whatever you say, I'm going to say. Whatever you do, I'm going to do. It's that simple. Walk with him. And the Lord will warn you. Come on. I didn't know. I didn't know that was wrong. The Lord will warn you. Don't ignore that still small voice. Don't ignore that voice that's saying, don't do that. Put that book away. Turn that tube off. Don't think about those things. Don't speak that way about that person. If you listen and you submit yourself to God, then you come under His authority. And whoever you submit to, amen, that's the one you're going to be serving. If you're under God's authority, then you have authority. Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. The power of sin is broken to believers' life. Romans 6:11. Reckon, consider yourself to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. What's our attitude? I'm not a sinner, folks, in the sense that that is my identity. See, we've got some of this messed up because people go around, I'm just a sinner saved by grace, and they live like a sinner. Sin, I am not by identity a sinner. I am a son of God. And the power of sin has been broken because of Christ. Does that mean I don't sin? No, we all do at times. But it means I have a new identity. I am a new creation. And now I live according to the law that is written on my heart by the Spirit of God. And when I do that, I have life. I have peace. I'm not living in fear, in condemnation, and in guilt. I'm living in peace with my Lord. Life is good. Romans 6, it says, reckon or consider yourself to be dead indeed to sin. Why? Sin no longer has that power over me. 12, therefore do not let sin reign. Do not allow it, he said, to reign in your body, that you should obey it in its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin. But present yourself to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Let me just say, back up a little bit. When people go around saying, I'm just a sinner, saved by grace, sinner, they're taking on an identity that is not really theirs. Because of the blood of the covenant, God covers you. And so now it becomes a matter of what identity do I take up? Do I take up the old man and say I'm going to live according to that? Or do I take up the new man and say, I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. I'm going to live according to the law of the Spirit. Life and peace is mine. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I'm not bound by sin. I've been translated out of darkness and brought into the kingdom of His dear Son. You got to shift out of that old identity. Turn away. Let that old man die. Because he's going to be there to remind you. You remember what you did last night? You remember what you did last week? 20 years ago? Oh, yes. I'm with you there, brother. As someone said, remind him of his future, right? When he reminds you of your past. Verse 14, here it is. Are you with me? For sin shall not have dominion. You've seen what I did to the Egyptians, how I cut them off, how I bore you on eagle's wings, I raised you up, I brought you to myself. It's not by what you did, it's by my grace. And therefore, because you're a son and a daughter, you walk in that identity, know who you are, that sin is not your master anymore. I'm your master, Jesus said. Hallelujah. There's revelation here, folks. Some of you just, whoa! And that's what the Lord wants you to know. How much He has done for you. And remind yourself every day of His goodness. Lord, thank You. Thank You for the cross. Thank You for myself. Thank You that I'm no longer in condemnation. That's why you got people getting saved every week. For years. They keep coming up. Because they have not shifted away from they're not believing the new identity is theirs. And it's simply that like a child would come in faith and believe that what daddy said is true. Those who come to me, I will in no wise cast out. It is for this reason, not to condemn, but to save that Jesus came. I didn't come to condemn the world. Aren't you glad? If you try to save yourself, you'll fall on your face. If you try to perform well enough for God, you'll fall on your face. When you simply come before God as the publican who beat his chest and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He went down to his house justified. But the religious guy that stood up there and says, Lord, look at all I've done. Ain't I something? You know what the Lord says? He says, you couldn't have done any of that without me. You wouldn't even thought about it. I didn't even think about the things I'm doing today when I was in the world. It's because of God's grace. It's because of His mercy. It's because His Spirit dwells within me that I want to live for Him. If you don't want to live for Jesus, you need to get saved. Because if His Spirit is in you, it will change the way that you think. And you'll begin to realize there's two of me now. There's a new man and then there's that old ugly man. Don't look at this body now, all right? Somebody say, yeah, you're ugly, all right. That's all right, I forgive you for that. The way of deliverance, God has revealed. Flesh and blood cannot reveal to us this way. Only God, by His Spirit, reveals this to us. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, it says, we have been raised up together with Christ. Where are we positionally? With Christ. Where? And made us sit together in the heavenly places. That's right, seated together with Christ in heavenly places. We have been united together with Him in covenant. But now, Ephesians 2:13 says, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been made near because of your good works. What does it say? Thank you. I needed correction. We have been brought near to Him because of His goodness, because of His mercy, because of the blood, not because of our goodness. Hallelujah. Jesus. Now, God put conditions on His promises. And you know, I believe today there are conditions. If you want the blessed life, you just need to listen to His voice. Am I right? Yeah. The law is not on stones, it's on your heart. And there are promises that God will give you that some are conditional if you will listen to His voice. Jesus says, you will pray and I'll give you whatever you ask for if you do what I say. If you listen to me, you'll see your prayers answered. If you forgive others, you'll see your prayers answered. Amen? If you walk in love, you'll honor my Father and my Father will be honored. And when you honor God, guess what? He says, I will come and my Father and I will honor you. God will honor you. How many want to be honored by the Father? Yes. We honor Him by walking in love. Because legalism is loveless obedience. There are many that are caught up in legalism. They're just doing what they got to do. And yet, the heart's not there because it's an attempt to justify themselves by their works. And that was the idea behind salvation, is Christ died in our place because we couldn't do it. No one could obey the law. The children of Israel had failed God miserably. They broke His covenant. They were supposed to be a kingdom of priests, amen, unto Him. And so that has been transferred in Christ. There's no longer Jew nor Gentile, bond nor free, male nor female, but all are one in Christ Jesus. We have become a kingdom of priests, amen, and kings unto God. That's who we are. If you indeed obey my voice, He said in verse 5, and keep my covenant. Now, has anybody ever kept God's covenant perfection? No, I'll answer it for you. Now, the law demanded that you shall love the Lord your God with what? With all your soul, mind, and with all your... Has anybody ever kept this commandment to perfection? Just raise your hand. How many desire to do that? Every hand should be up, right? We want to love God with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our strength. And we want to love our neighbor as ourself. But under the law, folks, it was impossible to even really love God because the law just demanded justice. It was all a law of do's and don'ts. However, there were those like David who saw something beyond what was, you know, in the tabernacle, in the furniture, in the ceremony of going in with the blood behind the veil, you know, once a year by the high priest. He saw something beyond the visible things, you know. And he saw something beyond that, and he saw the heart of God. And David was a man of faith. David was a man that walked in faith, folks. God, he understood that God is love. In Hebrews 11, you read about all those that they believed God. It wasn't just a formality to them. It was a relationship that he had with Him. That's what God wants. Legalism is a loveless devotion. And if you come into a church that is steeped in legalism, anybody beside myself ever been in one? It's rigid. It's cold. It's boring. Yeah, many times it is, isn't it? Because something key is missing. And it's called the love of God. Aren't you glad that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit? There's no denomination in heaven. It's just His people. People who love Him. Liberalism, on the other hand, is irresponsible freedom. Another one who misunderstands His purpose. You know I'm talking about liberalism? Just be free. Do whatever you want, when you want. If it felt good, you do it. The jails are full of people who did what they felt like. The hospitals are full of people that did what they felt like. The grave is full of people. And hell, of people that did whatever they felt like. Because they had not understood that God gave us boundaries because He loved us. He wants you to have life and life abundantly. That's our Jesus. I'm almost done. That's two. I only get three, right? The intent was good. All right. Thank you, Jesus. I want you to turn your Bibles. We're going to finish with this. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Verse 13. I love this. Folks, this truth can just completely revolutionize you. It can totally transform your life. If you can get a hold of this, if you can understand what Christ has accomplished for us in the cross. Because all life begins at that place, you know. It goes through the cross. It goes through death. We die to self, to the old man, to the old nature. And we rise again to walk in new life. And whoever you listen to is the one you're going to obey, the one you're going to serve. So we need to understand what voice we're listening to. Make sure we're listening to the voice of truth, like that song by Casting Crowns. But the voice of truth tells me a different story. Right. Says, do not be afraid. Jesus said, I've overcome the world. And you, the church, being dead in your trespasses in this uncircumcision of your flesh, He has made alive together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, that was the law that none of us could fulfill, which was contrary to us, and He has taken it out of the way, and He has nailed it to the cross. It is finished. Jesus, the Word, became flesh, dwelt among us, lived a sinless life, took upon Himself the sins of us all, and put that thing to death so that those who put faith in Christ will live. Not by the works of the law. Having disarmed principalities and powers, He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it, in the cross. What did He do? He disarmed principalities and powers. What does that mean? Jesus says, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Amen. Go therefore, Matthew 28:19, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus has overcome the world. He has all authority. When we submit ourselves and place ourselves under His authority, we have authority. The power of the enemy has been broken. The only thing he has to use is a lie. As long as we believe the truth and we live according to the truth, he has no place in us. Amen? He is defeated already. Jesus is Lord, and He's Lord of my life. I'm not a sinner. I am a child of God. If I sin, I have an advocate with the Father. I can say, Father, I'm sorry. Forgive me. But that's not my identity anymore. I have a new nature. I'm a new creation. So get out of that stinking thinking and put on the new man created in Christ Jesus. Put on the full armor of God. Worship God with all your heart. Be clothed in His righteousness. And when you put on the armor of God, there's something special that takes place. Amen. There's a supernatural confidence. There's a boldness. There's a peace that passes all understanding that we can receive from the Lord. And not from ourself, not from our works, not from our performance, but simply believing the report that God gave us about His Son. Oh! Hallelujah. There's an anointing in here today. Would you stand? Thank you, Jesus. We get to have potluck dinner together.